We're looking at 3 days in a row with chances for severe weather. I'll show you the biggest threats and which days storms could be more widespread.
More than 700 faculty and staff at UNC are speaking up for students facing discipline after last week's protests. Why they're calling this a constitutional violation.
Then, from what you pay in taxes to what money Wake County schools could receive, we take you inside the discussions happening right now for next year's budget.
Right now at 7, we are tracking showers and storms across our area tonight. Taking a look at radar this hour. We'll be watching it for several more to come. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. So this weather, these showers we've been seeing, they could become more widespread. Also, more unsettled weather is on tap for tomorrow. We have live team coverage for you tonight. We're going to begin with meteorologist Kat Campbell in the Severe Weather Center with a timeline on all this.
Well, we've got storms moving into the triangle right now. Dan, you can see the rain coming down in Chapel Hill. A live look from Top of the Hill Restaurant. Some students there with umbrellas. The rain's moving through Durham. The heaviest rain is over in Durham, but we're just about to see it reach the airport. And all of this rain is going to continue to push to the south and east. A couple of bolts of lightning out there. Keep that in mind. It should be brief heavy rain as it moves through, but rain that a lot of our yards and gardens still need. In the eastern part of our viewing area, we've got storms that have arrived in Edgecombe County. We're watching those pushing to the north and east. And then we should see a lull in the rain and storm chances late tonight before we could perhaps see some thunderstorm redevelopment overnight into early tomorrow morning. If you're an early riser, maybe a bus driver, 4, 5, 6 a.m. We've got some showers and storms around. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner will, of course, keep you up to date with radar updates throughout the morning for your morning commute tomorrow. And that's going to be our best chance for rain. But we have a couple of opportunities for severe weather this week, a level 1 risk for severe storms Tuesday and Wednesday, and another potential on Thursday. I'll have a closer look at that coming up.
Busy week and the busy night continues, as does our coverage. We go now to Brian Schrader in the WRAL Live Center. Brian.
We're going to take a look at that live camera on the Durham Freeway at TW Alexander Drive. That heavy shower just moved into that area, and you can see that it's a little gusty out there. The rain is really coming down hard, so some reduced visibility. Kat mentioned next stop for that line of showers and storms is the airport, and this is I-40 at Airport Boulevard. You can see how dark it's gotten there, and the winds are starting to kick up a little bit. So if you have dinner plans over the next little while, you need to keep that in mind in the triangle. Now, in the southeastern parts of our viewing area, the rain has been a little lighter. We're going to check in with Aaron Thomas in the WRAL Storm Tracker right now in Goldsboro. And Aaron, it looks on radar like things have eased up a little bit.
Yeah, they've eased up a bit, Brian. But in fact, right now, if we give you a live look from the WRAL Storm Tracker, you can see the steady rainfall that continues to fall here in Wayne County. This is one of six counties that we've had the WRAL Storm Tracker out on the road. A lot of rainfall has been in the eastern part of the viewing area so far. We've actually captured some of the heavier rainfall while we were in Cumberland County. That was right around the 5 o'clock hour, right when the evening commute was taking place. Even in some parts, we saw some lightning. So that took place over in Bladen and Sampson County. But as you can see, this rain continues to fall. We have the windshield wipers going on. We're going to keep our eyes open for any traffic impacts as more rain continues to push through the area. Back to you.
Thank you to Aaron and Brian. We'll continue to check in with you. And for more of this unsettled weather this week, including the risk for severe storms, make sure to have that WRAL News app so you can track the radar. Take it with you anywhere you go and get alerts for threats in your community.
We are still following breaking news in Raleigh, where deputies are on the scene of a homicide investigation. They have been for 8 hours now. Taking a look at the large presence on Camley Avenue at this hour, the WRAL Breaking News Tracker has been there for several hours. Deputies say they found a woman's body in a wooded area. They have not released her name or the circumstances surrounding her death. Look for any updates during our late news at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. 9 students were hurt and taken to the hospital after their school bus crashed in Johnston County today. 24 students were on board when it happened on Stevens Chapel Road this morning. As you can see, lots of damage to the back of the bus where it slammed into a tree. Troopers say 2 of the kids have broken legs. They say the driver was not paying attention when coming around a curve, causing her to overcorrect and lose control.
In the 10 years we've lived here, that's the third crash we've had from an overcorrection. 2 vehicles rolled over in the neighbor's front yard across the street on the same day. typically an awful lot of people coming away too fast through here.
The driver is facing at least one charge. 15 other students on board were not hurt.
Wake County property taxes are likely going up for homeowners, many of us. Within the last hour, county manager announced his proposed spending plan for the next year and what this is going to mean for taxes. WREL anchor Julian Grace has been paying attention to this and is going to break down a little bit of what this does mean for homeowners moving forward.
Well, Dan, the county manager just released that proposed budget, and it includes a 22% tax rate decrease. Now, some may like the sounds of that until they actually see the numbers. Let's take you back inside for that discussion with the most recent reevaluation in 2024. Most homeowners have seen their tax value rise a lot. So while that rate may be lower, that bill could still be higher. Let's explain it in a little bit more detail. 4 years ago, the average single family home in Wake County, that includes all towns and cities, including Raleigh, was about $345,000. Now it's at $527,000. That's up over 50% since the last reevaluation in 2020. So what does that mean for your tax bill? I know that's the big question out there tonight. Right now, you're still paying taxes on the past value of your home. If you're at the Wake County average value, that means your tax bill is around $2,300 a year. Under this budget proposal, a home assessed at the new average home value of $527,000, the owner would see a tax bill of $2,920, quite a bit higher. Now, you will get a chance to weigh in on this budget proposal. That first budget hearing is scheduled for May 21st. And I should say that first public hearing, that is.
All right. Yeah, a lot of people paying attention to this and their wallets. Julian Grace, live for us in Wake County. Thanks, Julian.
We are learning more about what led to a Person County deputy shooting and killing a man. It happened on Mount Harmony Church Road outside of Rougemont last night. The sheriff's office says the man was waving a gun at drivers and fired two shots. Deputies told him drop the gun before shooting the man. The SBI is investigating, reviewing dash and body cam video. The deputy who fired the fatal shot is on leave.
Today, protesters were back on the campus at UNC, but with more support. A group brought more than 750 signatures from faculty and staff demanding change for students disciplined during last week's protests. WRL Sean Gallagher shows us now why they're standing alongside them now in this fight.
More than 760 names and counting. That's how many faculty and staff have signed a letter for Interim Chancellor Lee Roberts to release any punishment for some 15 students facing suspension for protesting here on campus last week. A loud message from more than 7% of the entire faculty and staff here in Chapel Hill.
A group of a few dozen faculty, staff, and some students made their walk across campus to the Interim Chancellor's office with sheets of paper in hand to send a message.
The way we are repressing free speech in this way is very concerning.
These faculty members are in support of the pro-Palestinian group, both in their message and their right to express it.
The faculty demand that the administration provide amnesty for all students who have been arrested and suspended.
Those students involved in these clashes with law enforcement last week. Kylie Broderick spoke on behalf of a friend facing a suspension.
It is not the responsibility of the university to punish them for merely standing for justice.
Interim Chancellor Lee Roberts did not accept the signatures himself, but the group is threatening a more substantial protest, with faculty saying they will withhold grades from all students until the suspended students are reinstated.
This is the most powerful tool that we have to make it so. And yes, we have heard that dozens of faculty are already signing on to withhold their labor. Dozens and dozens and dozens, almost 100 grad students are already withholding their labor.
I'm told those faculty members plan on withholding grades until those 15 students are reinstated, while the university says they may consider sanctions against those faculty members for doing so. In Chapel Hill, Sean Gallagher,
A group of neighbors in Raleigh could have to pay a developer a lawsuit That's delayed construction on luxury townhomes in Hayes Barton.
This is the area that we're talking about. It's on Williamson Drive. WREL first reported on this legal battle actually more than a year ago. The neighbors are fighting the city's missing middle housing policies, which allow the developer to replace this one home with 17. WREL's Matt Tallhelm explains why a judge threw out part of the lawsuit.
The group behind these Save Our Neighborhoods signs you see around town is raising money to continue this legal fight after the neighbors who filed the lawsuit have been ordered to pay the developers legal fees.
The Hilltop home looms over this corner lot on Williamson Drive, boarded up and unchanged since 2022 when it was stripped of fixtures to sell to a developer for demolition.
And this is a house that needs hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of work just to make it habitable again.
Johnny Chappell is part of the development team that plans to tear down this home and build 17 luxury townhomes like these in its place.
It's served its life. We're looking to replace it with new homes that can provide homes for 17 new families.
They're allowed to do that without going through the rezoning process and getting input from neighbors because of Raleigh's missing middle housing policies. That made them and the city the target of a lawsuit filed in March of last year. Now a judge has dismissed the developers from the suit, saying they had no role in creating those missing middle policies. The Hayes Barton neighbors have been ordered to pay the developers $28,000 in legal fees.
So we are dealing with a very small but very affluent, wealthy group of neighbors who live in this neighborhood. They want to control what you can build here and who can live here.
The judge is allowing the lawsuit against the city to move forward. Since missing middle housing policies were approved in 2021, Raleigh has seen applications for 48 subdivisions of land, 194 accessory dwelling units, and 87 townhomes.
This fight is just getting started.
Attorney Frank Gordon represents the neighbors in the lawsuit.
The city could fix this. They don't have to spend money on legal fees, high-priced lawyers to fight about all this. They could do this over and do it the proper way and have input from all corners of the city and hopefully enact some different types of rules for development in the city.
Matt Tallhelm, WREL News, Raleigh.
The city will not comment on pending litigation. Chappell, meantime, tells WREL the developers expect to start work on the project in a few months now that they have been dismissed from the lawsuit. However, the neighbors do plan to file an appeal.
A trial began today to decide whether you will need to continue to bring your photo ID with you when you go to the voting booth. Supporters of this new law say voter ID will stop voter fraud. Opponents say the law's real intent is to disenfranchise minority voters. After court today, a potential witness for the plaintiff spoke to the crowd. The Lincoln County resident who spoke has an ID, but has stopped driving for medical reasons, and she didn't realize her license was expired. The trial is expected to last 2 weeks.
Taking a live look at Pinehurst tonight. Do we have that photo? I'd love to see a live image. Ah, we don't have it. Well, you know, Pinehurst, there it is. In a little more than a month, the best golfers in the world will be in our backyard for the 2024 U.S. Open. See all the scaffolding. We see the chairs and the seating. The championship will be seen here on WREL. Our Gilbert Bass was at golf's Mecca to find out about some of the economic benefits the event will bring to Moore County.
Well, no matter what anyone says, there's never a bad day on the golf course. And when you're at Pinehurst number 2, just a month away from the U.S. Open, all I need are the folks up in that grandstand cheering for me.
This is 15 feet of greatness. Payne Stewart sinks the putt on 18 to win the 1999 U.S. Open at Pinehurst number 2. Stewart's iconic fist pump is immortalized in bronze outside the Pinehurst clubhouse. 4 months later, he would die in a bizarre plane crash in South Dakota.
You see the Payne Stewart statue out front and the memories that have been created here. To actually see it on TV, see it from afar, and follow it throughout the years, but to actually be here now is something special.
Joe Yock and his buddy Jimmy Kemp are from out of town. This is their first trip to Pinehurst.
But to be at the world-renowned Pinehurst is a treat for me and three of my good friends who are getting a few rounds in together.
Their visit to the golf Mecca in Moore County will play out countless times come Father's Day weekend. The PGA Tour is expecting close to 250,000 people at this year's championship. It'll generate millions of dollars for Moore County restaurants, motels, and local merchants.
We could figure anywhere between a range of $150 million to $190 million, and
With this being one of our bigger championships, I would certainly feel like it's going to be on the higher end.
The new 1895 Club will generate lots of cash at hole number 18. It's premium seating in a climate-controlled atmosphere with tons of amenities. And the PGA is investing big bucks here at Pinehurst as well. Well,
we're very proud of it. It's our what we'd call Golf House Pinehurst, and it's our second home. Our headquarters is up in New Jersey, but now we have 70 of our staff, about 25% of the entire team that is now headquartered here at Pinehurst.
But forget about all the money. This Father's Day weekend is going to be all about the golf.
It's the best of the best doing what they do best.
Now in golf, you drive for show and putt for dough. And next month here at the U.S. Open, here at Pinehurst number 2, there's going to be an awful lot of money made here in Moore County. In Moore County, Gilbert Bays, WREL News.
And that's why putting is so hard. To give you an idea of just how lucrative the U.S. Open is, the most exclusive premium tickets are in the 1895 Club. A five-day pass will set you back $11,000. Thursday and Friday actually already sold out. You can still get those tickets for Saturday and Sunday for $2,500 each.
Oh, it's a bargain. Put me down for two. All right, take a look. We got some live looks here in North Hills. It looked like we got a little bit of a storm system in the background and a bit of a downpour. We need the weather cap, but we want to make sure it doesn't come with any of the severe stuff that sometimes tags along.
And, you know, at this point, Dan, we're not looking at a severe storm, but there could be some winds gusting 30, maybe up to 40 miles per hour if this storm were to strengthen, some lightning, and a brief period of heavy rain. But, boy, do we need the rain still. RDU, you can see the rain is really coming down right now. Now, if we look at the dual Doppler 5000 radar, we've got the storms right over Jordan Lake passing through RDU. The rain's about to lighten up there. Good news for travelers. It's going to be headed for Lewisburg. Some of the heavy rain moving into downtown Raleigh, and all of this continues to push to the east. So over the next hour, that's when we'll see the worst of the weather here in Wake County. We're starting to see the rain lighten up now in Chapel Hill as well as Durham, and the storms in Edgecombe County are starting to push east and out of here. We're going to be adding to our rainfall totals for the month of May today. And when you look at May so far, we're already doing pretty good. You know, today's just the 6th of May, and it's, you know, 5 days that we've had rain out of 6 in May. Definitely looking better than we were in April, running about 2 inches below normal for April. We've got a summer-like weather pattern setting up, so that means we're going to have more opportunities for storms. We're talking high humidity, high temperatures in the upper 80s to lower 90s, and when you combine that warm, humid air, that helps to energize the atmosphere. So any of these storms that develop over the next 3 days could be strong to severe. Coverage-wise, we're going with about a 40% chance of storms tomorrow. Some of those may actually be in the morning. A 40% chance again on Wednesday and Thursday. A slight uptick ahead of a front in coverage. The muggy meter, it's humid. You probably noticed it when you stepped outside today. And we're going to stay very humid throughout the next 3 days. Once we get to Friday and the weekend, though, a big drop in the muggy meter is coming our way behind the cold front that brings that chance for storms, perhaps more widespread Thursday. So let's talk about the temperature difference. We're running well above normal this week. Low 90s on Wednesday. Not quite to records, though. That would be mid-90s. And we have this ridge of high pressure that backs off. And then here comes the cooling behind the cold front. We're going straight from well above normal temperatures to below normal temperatures over the weekend. We could be down in the upper 40s in Roxborough and our northern counties by the time you wake up Saturday morning. We're going 50 here in the Triangle, 74 Saturday. Saturday looks like the best day of the next 7 weather-wise. There is a very small chance for some storms. Overnight Saturday and early Sunday morning. At this point, it looks like that would clear out for the rest of the day on Mother's Day. Of course, we'll keep you updated, but the next 3 days, we'll keep an eye out on the radar for you throughout the day, especially with that potential for some severe storms.
You bet. Thanks, Kat.
Some students in our area just pulled off an impressive feat, rebuilding this race car. Hear all about what went into the project coming up.
Kane, it was a tough start for the Canes, but it's a long series, right? And they're in New York, so they lost game one, but they're gearing up now for game two against the Rangers. It was a tough one, though, last night.
That's okay. It's just one game. Today, the team hit the ice for practice in New Jersey. They're looking at even the score after falling to the Rangers 4-3 in game one. The Canes hit the ice again at MSG tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. WRL's Casey Hintz is there. You can look for her reports before and after the game. And look out for our special post-game show at 11:25 with exclusive coverage throughout the Canes playoff run. You've got to see the project from a group of Wake County students. This is so cool.
They built a car. They rebuilt this race car here. This is from the race car club at Vernon Malone College and Academy. Students spent the last year doing this. They reassembled a 1984 Monte Carlo race car. They unveiled the finished product this morning. This is at the school's annual block party. Students managed to get the car running too, okay? So it's functioning and ready for the road. It doesn't just look pretty. The project was made possible by a $25,000 donation from Hendrick Automotive.
And now I want to know what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's race and see what that baby can do, right? So the first sea turtle nest of the season was spotted on Oak Island this morning.
The Oak Island Sea Turtle Protection Program posted these pictures online. It's the first nest in the state. This month marks the start of sea turtle nesting season. Last year, wildlife officials reported more than 1,000 sea turtle nests during nesting season. The website OpenTable released its top 100 brunch spots in America list.
There is a Kerry restaurant that made it. Herons at Umstead Resort was the only restaurant from the area to make the list. And I mean, if you know restaurants in this area, this is like top of the food chain, as they say. It's known not only for its brunch menu, dinner there is great too. OpenTable notes that Herons is one of only 64 Forbes five-star restaurants in the entire world.
Check that out.
Time to book a resi.
Time to go to Herons.
Check it out. Why not?
Go.
Hey, thanks for checking us out tonight on WREL. We'll see you back here later.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.